My name's Paul Murphy, and over the last two decades, one thing has constantly intrigued me. How do we get a consistent flow of targeted traffic to generate incredible profits and at the same time set up processes and systems that remove all the stresses and headaches that come with online marketing? Together, we will discover the unknown strategies that exist right now on how to set up powerful marketing systems that allow us to turn our businesses around fast and give us the power to not live life on someone else's terms that we never signed up for in the first place, but have the lives we always dreamed of. Traffic's the question, and this podcast will give you the solutions. Now, on with today's episode. Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going? Paul here. So, just out for a walk. We've had seriously crazy weather for the last week, and I haven't been able to go out. Well, I could have done, but I would have got soaked, and it would have been crazy. But so I've just got out for a nice walk. The sun's out today, and I was thinking of something actually quite interesting that I don't think I've ever revealed on my training or on the podcast or on my weekly calls or anything like that. And I thought it'd be a really interesting story to share with you guys, because I was listening to something earlier and it was talking about what drives you, right? Nature versus nurture. And then I was thinking, well, hang on a minute, is there not a third category? Because, you know, nature would suggest that, you know, it's like racehorses, right? It's in the blood. You know, if you breed racehorses, then the racehorse is going to be good, right? And that's true within racehorses, right? So that would come down, you know, that would be kind of one example of nature having an impact. So if you have an amazing, bright, incredible family driven, then, you know, if nature is the answer, then that means you're going to have that, right? And then there's the argument nurture, right? That it's got nothing to do with nature. Actually, there's a really good example of this in my favourite film from the 80s called Trading Places. And they do an experiment and they actually have an argument at the start saying nature versus nurture. And they basically swap Dan Aykroyd with Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy's a tramp and Dan Aykroyd's a successful businessman. And they reckon that they can swap them and Eddie Murphy will come out on top. And yeah, really great film. I totally recommend it, actually. I would say it's a Christmas movie, actually, so it's a good time of year to watch it. In fact, I might watch it later. But then they've got the nurture, obviously, like how are you up, how's your upbringing, how are you brought up, and all that sort of stuff. You know, is that going to have an impact? Now, whilst I think that there's probably a little bit of both anyway, I want to propose a third category, which is like unicorn, where like I didn't have a particularly amazing upbringing. We had a very dysfunctional family. I was brought up on a council estate. And, you know, although I'm not, you know, Elon Musk, you know, I'm not mega, mega successful, I consider myself fairly successful. I think I've been successful in life in a lot of ways. You know, I've managed to stay relatively happy. I've had bouts of depression and things like that, but I've managed to be, you know, successfully happy, successful in business, successful with monetary gains, successful carving out my life. And if you look at nature versus nurture, like nobody in my family really were massive business people. My granddad worked on the railway. My nan was an auxiliary nurse. And my mum, she did labour work all of her life. And, you know, when I look at most of my family, I'm quite unique, right? There's not very many people in my family like that. And so you can't really go down the nature route for that. And then you can't really go down the nurture route, because I was I had a lot of obstacles to get to where I got to. Like when I left school, I was told to get a job, right? Because I had to pay rent. I wasn't allowed to go to college, even though I wouldn't have qualified for college because I'd been bunking off school for 2 years because I didn't really get a lot out of it. And then, you know, and then I kind of got into some, I got some luck, right? And I got some good jobs. And then I managed to kind of find my own way. I nurtured myself in a way. But I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have a father figure growing up. So nurture kind of didn't come into it. There's kind of like a weird kind of correlation between me sort of doing something. Now, the reason I wanted to kind of propose that, or at least put the, you know, maybe just something to think about for today, right? While you're out for your walks or whatever, you're thinking like, okay, you know, what is it? What does it boil down to? So when I first moved down to Brighton, okay, I moved to Brighton here in 2000 and the end of 2003, so 19 years ago. And then I lived, I basically spent a while getting to know people because I worked for myself. So I didn't have a network. And you know, for the first two or three years, I kind of didn't really know anyone, right? Apart from my friend Marcus, and I lived with him for the first 6 months. And then I bought my own house because my business has started to do really well. So I kind of bought a house, which is like a couple of miles out of town. And I was living in this house and I didn't have lodgers or anything. I just kind of was living there, trying to figure out how to make friends. And then I got, you know, I had a couple of relationships and I was with a girl and she moved down with me and I bought a place on the seafront, which is where I live now. And she moved in with me. And then we broke up and then I was kind of back to square one. And a couple of my friends had moved down to this part of neck of the woods. So I had a bit more of a network, but I still didn't feel like I had a massive network. And I thought about it. And over the years, most of my friends have come through places I'd worked, right? You know, and or old school friends and things like that. So, and at the time, Meetup and places like things, you know, websites now where you can go and meet people and connect with people in different, you know, categories, you know, like business or social or walking or swimming clubs or badminton clubs, you know, things like that. They all exist now, but they didn't exist back then. And when I broke up with my girlfriend at the time, Natalie, I joined one of these clubs that had just sprung up and it was called Brighton Socialising. No, sorry, City Socialising. And I joined this and it was amazing. You know, there'd be like loads of events every week and you get to make loads of new friends and you'd be like have an amazing kind of social life. And, you know, we started a badminton club because I really enjoyed playing badminton. So I started a badminton club within that City Socialising and then kind of got a big network of friends. And it was really cool. And in fact, probably too many friends at one point because I was kind of like trying to keep up with everybody, trying to go out all the time. And it was quite, it got a bit crazy for a couple of years. And this was in around about 2007, 2008. And then as a result of that, being a kind of a bit of an entrepreneur by spirit, I thought, well, how about all of the people that we've got together, if we just form one? And I basically started one called Brighton Socialising, which was, and I used a platform, a website platform called Ning at the time, N-I-N-G, which have now, they kind of closed down, they kind of closed down a few years later and then they've re-emerged now as Mighty Networks. So you might have heard of Mighty Networks, but they were basically originally Ning. And I used their platform and I kind of did a bit of coding and workarounds to make it into a membership site, right? Because they didn't have that that capability, but I managed to kind of make it in a way so that there was a PayPal option and then you could basically sign up for a subscription. So there was a free version where people could come to some memberships, and then there was a paid version which was like I think £10 a month or whatever it was, and it was really good. And when I originally set this up, one of my friends from City Socialising kind of got together with me and we were going to do it together. And she had some ideas and I had some ideas, and it turned out that we had kind of different ideas on how we wanted to run it. And then we just laughed and said, okay, it'll be really good fun. Like, you do your idea, I do my idea, and then everyone can join both. And I thought, yeah, brilliant. And I really supported that. Like, I was like, okay, I did that. And I was telling people to go on her sites and stuff. But she was breeding a little bit of a different kind of vibe, right? She was telling people, you know, how evil I was for doing this against her, which wasn't actually the case. We'd actually had a discussion about it and we'd agreed that we were going to do this, do our sites, and everyone was going to join everyone. And at the time, I dated a girl called Tasha, and she had basically joined that site or that version. And I think, you know, there was a little bit of poison there, maybe because we'd broken up or something, I don't know. But basically, I was getting attacked in the street. You know, people were coming up to me saying, how dare you rip off Kate? And it turned out that this person had been lying about everything that I'd done, right? Like, completely. And it really, really, really got to me. And I got really, really upset because all I'd ever wanted to do was just, you know, hang out with people and have a nice time. I never really, it was more of a lifestyle business than it was a big kind of like, you know, let's turn this into a massive thing. I just did it because we had an idea of how we wanted to run it ourselves, right? So I just facilitated that. And she, you know, she just basically was out to get me and told a lot of lies about me. And then people were attacking me in the street and coming up to me one girl actually just came and slapped me around the face at one of my events and said, what you did to Kate was... And I was thinking, what did I actually do? And I actually went up to Kate one day. It was one of our sort of mutual friends' birthday parties. And I went up to her and I said, what have you said about me, Kate? She said, oh, it's nothing. It's not me. It's, you know, how people are. And I thought, yeah, but no one on my site has gone around saying horrible things about you because I've not allowed it, you know. Anyway, it really, really got to me. And I had to have counselling. I had to have therapy. And one of the things that actually happened was when I went to see this therapist, she said to me, she said, if a bunch of school children come up to you in the playground, right, if you were walking through a playground, right, say you were walking through to pick up one of your kids or something, and the kids kind of looked at you and laughed at you and went, ah, look at your nose, or look at your, whatever they find weird, right, about you being an adult, right, what would you do? I said, I'd laugh. I'd find it funny. And she said, okay, that's interesting. She said, and do you think that these people are acting like adults or children? I said, well, definitely children. And she said, so really, the way you're responding is you're responding as a child, not as an adult. And I went, ah, and then the penny dropped. And I realised that it was all, you know, there was nothing I could do to control the way people wanted to perceive me or the way people wanted to understand the way I was. And then I suddenly grew my first layer of thick skin. Right, and realised, ah, okay, the world, I cannot control the world, because there is an element, you know, I think, I don't know if we all have it, but I have it a little bit, you know, where I don't want people to think certain things about me or whatever. And when I realised that there's no way I can control that, and if a circumstance happens when people want to turn against you, and you haven't done anything wrong, then you just have to hold your head high and go, okay, well, that's on them, that's not on me, and there's nothing I can do about that. And then eventually it went away, right? But, you know, I went through a few therapy sessions, and I actually went through a lot. And then when I was, you know, when I was developing my YouTube skills and thinking, like, how am I going to bring this to the world? Obviously, that all came up. And I was like, well, what if people say this? What if people say that? And immediately, because I think I developed that skin a little bit, I thought, well, I am not going to be able to control what people say, but I can control the way I deliver the content I'm going to deliver and the way I train people and the way I show people. And if people, you know, I am going to be authentic, and if people like that, great, but there's going to be people that don't like that, right? And unbelievably, there's less people at the moment. I mean, maybe when I, you know, grow or scale or whatever, like in the future, that's going to happen because it's inevitable. There isn't anybody on this planet, you know, you take somebody like Elon Musk, who I really admire. Right now he's acquiring Twitter and he's getting a lot of hate, right? And that's going to happen at any time in your life. If you want to kind of stand above the parapet in any way, that's inevitable. You're going to have that, and you've got to be able to deal with that. So, you know, for those of you who are doing YouTube, so we had one of our students, Greg, he got his ego bruised, he got some comments on one of his videos. And, you know, he was kind of, his videos were calling out. They were kind of very, you know, clickbaity is the right word, and actually we want our videos to be a bit clickbaity, because we want people to kind of get people's attention so they click our videos. So he wasn't doing anything wrong there, but he was getting called out on the fact that, you know, the video itself wasn't necessarily doing all the training that people had hoped for, right? Because he was obviously promoting one of my courses and promoting what we do. And obviously he was going to let me do that on my webinars and things like that, right? Which is absolutely fine. He's done absolutely nothing wrong. And he didn't know how to respond. He was like, well, do I respond? Do I leave it? And he responded really, really well. But, you know, obviously the more you kind of get traction on your channels and your things, like the more you stand above, the more people are going to call you out. And I actually had a student as well, because, and again, I don't do this now because I don't actually necessarily think this is a good strategy. But at the time, I said, look, you know, if you want to get attention, if you use the word scam and the name of the product, right, and if you basically, that'll get people's attention, right? That'll stand out in the search engines, and then it'll go viral, and it'll get ranked. And we said, like, he was promoting Builderall, and I said, like, you know, if you say it's a scam to buy Builderall, if it's a scam if you don't buy Builderall. But he got called out, right? Because people were looking for a reason not to buy Builderall, but they were only getting a reason to buy Builderall. you know, it was clickbaity, but it wasn't delivering exactly what the title said. It was kind of the opposite. And that was, again, that was a learning curve for me, because I told him to do it. He did it, and he got a lot of backlash, right? Hell of a lot of backlash. But he was cool with it. He was absolutely fine. It was, you know, his video got tons of views. He ended up taking it down, I think, because eventually he just thought, well, this isn't really doing what I said. And I then immediately said, look, let's not do things like that, because, you know, at the end of the day, we want to be authentic. We want to be offering good value. I thought that people would be cool with it. I was wrong. And we learn, right? We learn from things we do. But there's no reason, obviously, to get majorly upset about it. It was a learning mistake. You know, people called him out on it. He realised whether he wanted to do content like that and then moved on. And, you know, sometimes you will put content out and somebody's going to say, okay, is that authentic? Is that good? Is that really delivering what I want? And I've done that by mistake. You know, I've made a title of a video and made some training in the video. And, you know, I thought I was delivering what that title was. And I did, this happened recently. I'm trying to think of the name of the video, but the title was congruent with the video, but it wasn't what people were looking for. The title was congruent with the actual content, but it wasn't. When people were putting that search term in, they were thinking of something else. That was the result. And I obviously learned immediately, and I answered all those questions in there and said, look, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, I hadn't quite understood, you know, that by you searching for this, and I apologise, and I'll make better content, and I will actually address that. And people are saying, oh, thanks, you know, most people don't respond, thank you for responding, things like that. And, you know, but there is one other type of, like, troll that you get online, right? People that are just out, either they've had a bad life, or they just really want to go and cause grief. Now, I've seen less of this, actually, in the last year or two. There's a lot of hate in the world anyway, but people generally are directing their hate in other ways now. They don't generally just tend to be attacking YouTube videos. Generally, I see a lot more constructive criticism, which is what we want. But sometimes, and eventually, if you do this long enough, you're going to get somebody who's just out to get you. And I had somebody once, like, scammer Murphy, scammer this, scammer that. And I tried to kind of speak to this person, and he was just, like, abusive, right? And he didn't want to know. And I thought, well, okay, he's got an opinion, I can't change it, move on. There's really nothing I can do. And occasionally you're going to get those, right? And it will happen. And, yeah. So, you know, obviously when you're putting content out, I would just think about, you know, like, are you being a child? Are you being an adult? Because you've got to think about it. Like, when people kind of moan on the internet and moan in social media, it's kind of not necessarily them. If you sat down in a bar with that person, or a pub, or a coffee, and you sat down and had an actual chat with that person, you probably have a very different chat. And when they're bringing out their lowest part of their brain, and you're bringing out your lowest part of your brain, it's like those two children are talking, and it's not really you and that person, right? So kind of think about it like that. And do you want to be that? Do you want to be that lower person, or do you want to kind of, you know, if somebody's acting like a child, doesn't mean that we have to respond like one, right? And yeah. So hopefully there's some good takeaways there, and hopefully some things to put into your marketing. So this is very, very windy. Hopefully it's not been too windy so you can't hear me. But yeah, I'll put this out anyway, because I think it's good content. And I'll see you guys on the next episode. If you are tired of paying for ads that do not deliver, and you need to reach a super targeted audience, driving them direct to your products and services with free, targeted, evergreen traffic on Google and YouTube, then our Gold membership is designed specifically to help you get results fast by claiming your first free Google ads. Now, the great thing is that your first 2 weeks are completely free. To get started, head over to iservefirst.com. That's iservefirst.com. Links in the show notes. And you'll be able to start driving 100% free targeted traffic to your business today.